or tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, March the 30th, 1991. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Gene and Earlene Moody are the ministers of the, in this service.
I think most of you know, but maybe everybody doesn't, that Gene is an engineer. That's his profession. He works at it every day, even part of the time when he's here. He works at it because he has to call in to see what who's looking for him or not looking for him, and has to check into the office. And Earlene is a retired school teacher. And, well, she's not retired. She just was a school teacher. Let's say it that way.
Just tired.
And she's still teaching. She hasn't quit teaching. She's still teaching. So, Earlene, come and teach us that which the Lord has for us this afternoon.
You know, it's been like a shot in the arm to be here. I mean, it started off at the very beginning, and I just have really enjoyed myself, and I've learned a lot. You know, things I hadn't really... You know, the amazing thing about like what we had this morning and the teachings that Dick Mills has done is that in the middle of a lot of foolishness, he gets along a great lesson to you.
Amen.
And those people who maybe didn't come because they thought, well, I came for deliverance and there was nothing in deliverance coming from him, you were wrong. He told a lot about how to keep your deliverance. All right, now, I'm going to take up a subject that I've never heard talked about before. And I wish that the Bible scholars were still here so that they could give some input on this. I do know that when we are having problems with the devil and the demons, we have a formula. You know, the Bible is not hard facts, chipped in stone, and there's no other way. But it does have directions on what to do. And so it says, if you're having problems with the devil, you should do several things. The first one is you should submit yourself, therefore, unto God. All right, the next thing you have to do is resist the devil. You can't resist him if you're sitting there whining around looking for somebody else to do it for you. In this life, there are certain things you cannot get anyone else to do. Then, he tells us what will happen. The devil will run away. You know, I firmly believe that if you submit yourself, therefore, unto God, and resist the devil, it won't be near as hard to get the demons out. But if you're thinking to yourself that I can just go down there and act real holy and maybe all these demons will leave and I'll be happy ever after, you have not submitted yourself to God. Because he says those that find him will seek him with their whole heart. And in the Amplified Bible it says more than they desire their necessary food. So the first thing we're going to do is prayer of submission. We're going to follow the formula. Now, if you agree with what I'm saying, you can say it out loud or quietly or not at all, whatever your preference is. But when I start to read my Bible or start to work with deliverance or anything, I like to submit myself to God.
Amen.
There are a lot of gods out there, little g's. And I want to make sure I'm submitted to the right thing. All right, so let's pray about this. Because this matter today is serious. All right, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I know your directions for getting deliverance. Say that I should submit myself to you. I do that now in the name of Jesus Christ. I acknowledge your lordship over me, your right to direct me, and that you do know the only right way. I ask for knowledge, understanding and wisdom,
and wise counsel
from the Holy Spirit
right now.
I take authority over the devil and all demons.
I take authority over the devil and all demons.
All ruler spirits.
All ruler spirits.
Over my family, myself.
And in the heavenlies.
And I command them bound in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord,
for this provision for my good
health. In Jesus' name I pray. I'm going to ask a few questions here. If you don't have any of these problems, then you can get up and leave. This is not for you. I hear these people probably ought to stay. Do you have a serious problem with rejection? Do you feel unwanted? Do you feel alienated from your family members? Do you feel sort of shut off from life? Do you work real hard and never seem to get ahead? In all your plans for financial wisdom and use of your money, do you fail? Do you wander from place to place thinking the next place will be the place? Do you feel like your family has sort of a pallor of being an outcast? Do you feel depressed and degraded? Do you get joy out of condemning people? The Bible says if you condemn your fellow man, I mean, if God is getting after your enemy who's hurt you, and you get a lot of joy out of that, he'll quit correcting them. Do people make fun of you and your family? You know, there are communities, I've lived in communities, and there's been like one family or two in the neighborhood, and everybody else laughs at them, makes fun of them. And you say, why? And nobody knows why. Do you sometimes, at odd moments, rather frequently, have a feeling that something bad is just fixing to happen? Do you get so mad that you could almost kill yourself or someone else? Do you have a serious feeling of helplessness? Don't know what to do. In your family, is there a loss of male children? Are the children in your family violent? Are the adults violent? Is there anybody in here that needs to leave? Okay, then I'm going to tell you what I'm going to talk about. How many of you know why Israel was often taken into captivity? What for? But that's only half of the problem. No. 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 They served other gods and shed innocent blood. And from, you know, I think probably in the fall of this year was when this suddenly came to my attention. And it was a shock to me. I noticed something that certain young people that I knew, some vaguely and some fairly well, one in our church, things began to happen to them. One girl was raped. One girl was attempted rape. One girl in our town was murdered for an old blue jean jacket and a pair of tennis shoes, half worn out. Now that does not make any sense to me, and I cannot comprehend it. But of the two girls that I knew one certain thing about them. Each of them had had one or more abortions. They were Christians, and they were in the church when they did this. So I want to examine this question of shedding innocent blood, and I'm open for instruction because I've just started studying this, but it has shocked me so bad that I'm really concerned about our country, and I'm concerned about our families, our young people. When I was a child on the mountain in Tennessee, I never heard of a murder until I was like 13 years old. And then a man murdered our grocery fellow. And I was so shocked and so afraid to go anywhere that I had five brothers, so I was amply supplied with protectors. But unless one of them went with me, I wouldn't go anywhere. And it took probably at least a year and a half to 2 years for me to get to where I would go, out of the yard. Today there are so many murders in Baton Rouge you don't even notice. There's an awfully lot of women murdered. I don't believe that used to be so. I've been in the world almost 60 years. And up until the last few years, that didn't seem to happen. I had a new Bible and I started marking everything in red. I came across this verse. You might want to write it down because you're not going to believe it's there. Genesis 9, verse 6. Genesis 9, verse 6. Now, this actually is a curse. Genesis 9, verse 6. Whosoever sheds men's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God he made man. Since God created man in his image, we should respect one another. We should not kill one another. We should honor and respect the image that we were created in. There is a law for killing those who kill and plan and carry out murder on purpose with premeditation. There's actually even a curse in Romans 13:4 against those who do not punish those who murder. Okay? So we're not talking about those who premeditate murder. We're talking about those who do secret murders or things that aren't seen. Other people don't know too much about it. The first account of shedding innocent blood in the Bible is in Genesis 4. The brothers Cain and Abel have both offered sacrifices to God, and Abel's sacrifice is accepted. Cain's is not. So Cain gets very, very angry, exceedingly angry and indignant, so the word means. And when the Lord sees this, he says to Cain, "Why are you angry?" This is Genesis 4, chapter, verse 6. "Why do you look sad and dejected? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin crouches at your door." Some more directions for keeping your deliverance. "Its desire is for you, but you must master it." In reality, when Cain brought something that he was not supposed to for sacrifice, he was telling God, "You'll accept me like I am with what I've got." He was very disobedient. So Cain lets his anger and his rage and his hate and his jealousy burn. They build up. They burn. So much so that he creates a fire for murder. He pretends. Have you ever pretended to like your neighbor when you hated their guts? You know? He pretends to be real friendly with his brother and says, "Let's go out in the field." He gets him out there and he kills him. Buries him in the dirt. Then he goes on about his business acting like nothing happened. So God, he looks down there and he sees what's happened. And he calls the man. You know, God always call you to account. What is deliverance? You're being brought into making an accounting for yourself and what you've allowed happen to yourself. So he acts like he done nothing. And God looks right down there in his heart and sees the whole story. He knew it already. Now, you know, Cain had the opportunity to repent almost after every question that God gave him. But he didn't. The Lord said to him, let's see, "You are cursed by reason of the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's shed blood from your hand." Now, this is some of the curse, some of the things, some of the results of shedding innocent blood. "When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength." In other words, for men today, it would probably be when you go out to work, you'll probably get passed over for promotions, you'll make mistakes, you won't profit from the work that you do. "You shall be a vagabond on the earth in perpetual exile." Gene and I met people, and we wandered a great deal ourselves. We moved from place to place 20-something times in probably 25 years. You're always looking for more and better. But these people are exiled even for worse reason than that. They're exiled because that's their curse. And you see a lot of young people today on the road, and they're just wandering around, unshaven, unsuccessful, not doing anything. Vagabond. You'll be a degraded outcast. You know, even at this point, Cain could have repented. And I'm sure God would have forgiven him. But he didn't. In fact, he began to tell God how hard you are on me. You're going to do this to me? You're going to separate me from my family? I'm never going to have anything? He thought what God did to him was ridiculous. Now, in comparison to murdering his brother, what was his sentence? It was life. It was really light. Now, I'm going to go through a section. I'm going to mostly read the scriptures to you, and I'm going to try to go slow enough so that you can look them up if you want to, but at least write them down. I think there's a lot about this we don't understand. You can probably study it and add a lot of information to this. These scriptures are about shedding innocent blood, Exodus 23:7. Keep very far from a false matter, and be very careful not to condemn to death the innocent and the righteous. For I will not justify and acquit the wicked. But God calls this a very wicked thing. Deuteronomy 19:10. Lest innocent blood be shed in your land, which the Lord your God doth give you for an inheritance, and so blood guilt be upon you. In the verses below, God is setting up cities of refuge for those who accidentally kill. And it gives an illustration about an axe handle flying off and killing somebody. Right, in that kind of an instant where you didn't intend to kill, it was purely accidental, God made a place of refuge where you could go and stay until the elders of the city had investigated. And if they found you guilty of premeditated murder, they brought you out and slayed you. If they found you innocent of any premeditation or hatred, then you could stay in the city of refuge until the priest that was there when you committed this act died. Then you could go home. Your eyes were not supposed to pity the man who commits murder with premeditation and with greed. That's verse 13. This is a provision for redeeming the land where one is found murdered and no one knows who did the murder. That's Deuteronomy 21:1-9. If one is slain in open land, the city that is nearest to his body shall bring a heifer to a valley never sown, break its neck, and there all the men of the city shall wash their hands and say whether or not they did the murder or saw it done. Even Pilate feared shedding Jesus' blood. In Matthew 27:23-25, let me have my Bible, Jean. Matthew 27. Pilate was a heathen, I think. Don't you? Even Pilate was afraid to shed innocent blood. Even the heathen knew that this was something you don't do. And Pilate said to them, "What shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" And they all replied, "Let him be sacrificed, crucified." And he said, "Why, what has he done? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the louder, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was not getting anywhere, but rather a riot was about to break out, he took water and washed his hands in the presence of the crowd, saying, "I am not guilty of nor responsible for this righteous man's blood. See to it yourself." And it refers us back to Deuteronomy 21:6-9. And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and our children." At that point, every Jewish person who was there was guilty of the innocent blood of Jesus Christ, and this curse fell upon him. And since then, Jews have been wanderers. What one race of people have been slaughtered by the millions, innocently from all looks of things, and yet it goes back to this verse. We have worked with a number of Jewish people in deliverance, those that have gotten saved. We have a son-in-law who is Hebrew and he's born again. And when he got married to our daughter, there were times when he liked to pray for things because he knew that there were problems that he had. And one night we were praying for our daughter and he wanted to join in and we started to pray for him. And he began to shake so violently that the sofa, all four of us adults were sitting on, was shaking. And I kept saying, "Lord, what's wrong? What's happening, God? What is this?" And this section of verses ran through my mind. And at that point, we stopped everything and we broke the curse of shedding innocent blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, and called out evil spirits along with the rest of the deliverance that Gene was doing with him. And I want you to know that when that thing came out, all that shaking stopped. I also noticed some other things. Financially, they're prospering. Their family is growing. The business has multiplied probably 3 or 4 times over. All right, what is that? Some of the results of this curse were broken off of them, and they are beginning to live differently. Things are changing. All right, this one is Deuteronomy 21:1-9. Now, we went through the 7th verse, and we're going to the 8th one. And this is what the people were to pray with all sincerity after they had washed their hands and supposed to tell the truth about whether they saw it or did it. "Forgive, O Lord, your people Israel, whom you have redeemed, and do not allow the shedding of innocent blood to be charged to your people Israel. And the Lord says, when they repent sincerely, then it says, and the guilt of the blood shall be forgiven them. So shall you purge the guilt of innocent blood from among you when you do what is right in the sight of the Lord. Deuteronomy 27, 24. Deuteronomy 27, 24. Cursed is he who slays his neighbor secretly. That includes with words also. All the people shall say, Amen. Even if you should never get caught if you commit a murder or you talk death to people, the devil knows it. The demons that are assigned to your family and your family line, they know it. And you won't get away with it. Your family won't get away with it. The devil won't let you have any peace. If you could come to the Lord and get saved, repent, get delivered, clean up your act, and live like you should thereafter, the demons will not be a bother to you, neither will the curse. But if you or your children begin to sin again in the same manner, the curse returns. Cursed is he who takes a bribe to slay an innocent person. All the people shall say, Amen. This is the next verse. This includes all parties participating in the abortion of unborn children, the father. You know, we've always kind of heard that, the mother was the one that got it for aborting the baby. But the father, who also is a partner, is guilty. The doctor, the mother and father of the young people who have done this, if they agree to it, the nurses, everyone who has a part in it falls under the curse. There was a doctor in our town who had a clinic. His two twin daughters were saved, and this man went insane. He couldn't sleep nights for hearing the babies cry. Deuteronomy 27, 25. That was what that one was. This also includes judges who are unfair and accept bribes to cancel sentences or lie to change the verdict. 1 Samuel 19, 5. 1 Samuel 19, 5. Saul had ordered David slain, but Jonathan attempted to persuade Saul not to do this, not to shed innocent blood. Why did Jonathan care whether David killed him or whether Saul killed David or not? He loved David, yes. But it was a much more greater problem than that. If Saul killed David, then most likely Jonathan would have been murdered and all of his sons or children. In 2 Kings 21, 16, 2 Kings 21, 16, moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood, filling Jerusalem from one end to the other, besides his sins of making Judah sin by doing evil in the sight of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 33, 1 through 10 explains a lot of what he did. He burned his children as an offering to his God in the valley of Ben-Hinnom. Manasseh was the evil son of good Hezekiah. He not only worshipped other gods, he was into Satanism, occultism, all the sexual perversions, murder, greed, it didn't matter, he did it. He put the images of his idols in the temple of God. Children are gifts from God, given by him to parents. Sometimes parents turn around, kill them, and sacrifice them to demons. Now, that's quite an attempt to get at God, isn't it? This was a terrible affront to God, a great rebellion and a terrible sin, which brings curses for many generations and possibly forever on a family line. It takes sincere repentance of these sins of self and of ancestors to find the cure. 2 Kings 24, 2 through 4. The Lord sent against Jehoiakim bands of Chaldeans, of Syrians, of Moabites, and of Ammonites, and he sent them to Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by his prophets. Now, we know at this place that the Ammonites and the Moabites were people descending from incest. And here is God's holy people. God's going to send these people who are ancestral in to destroy them. The Chaldeans were the worst worshipers of Satan that were around. And the Syrians, I don't really know about them in that area. But here God is taking the most evil people he can find to come and get God's people and destroy them. Surely this came upon Judah. This is 2 Kings 24, 2 through 4. Surely this came upon Judah at the commandment of the Lord to remove them out of his sight because of the sins of Manasseh, according to all the sins he had done and also to the innocent blood that he shed. It says he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, and the Lord would not pardon. Why wouldn't he pardon? No repentance. No accepting responsibility for what they did. Jehoiakim was the descendant of the Manasseh, and both the sins of his fathers he did. Plus, he received the punishment and the curses. Now I want to show you something that I've seen, which no, I haven't seen anyone else talk about, but, you know, we talk about good King Hezekiah and his prayer that he prayed. And God heard him and let him live. But in his prayer, he doesn't say, Lord, I want to live because I want to straighten this nation out for you. But at the end, he didn't say, I submit myself to your will, Lord. So there are 10 tragic results of the answer of this prayer. Manasseh and Jehoiakim, he didn't have any children when he prayed that prayer. Then he bore these evil sons. And it says Manasseh and Jehoiakim were as evil or more evil than any of the rest of their time. Josiah, son of Manasseh, did right in the sight of the Lord. See, all of a sudden, here in the middle of it all, a great-grandson or grandson is going to choose God and do right. So what does God do? He delays the punishment. He delays it until this young man has died. And yet we've heard a lot about Nebuchadnezzar's city of Babylon recently. Well, he figured in this episode right here. I have an idea that we never would have heard of Nebuchadnezzar, and he never would have been king if God's people, Israel, hadn't done these things of shedding innocent blood and worshiping other gods. God rose that man up on purpose to destroy Israel and Judah, and he did. So don't think you're going to get away with it. Now, this has been, ever since I found out about deliverance and what God would do if I didn't straighten up my act, I've been house cleaning. You know, I'm mostly a housewife. And I know about leaving a little dirt here and a little dirt there. You know, it doesn't stay a little dirt. Have you ever noticed that, housewives? If you leave it there, somehow it grows. Nobody touches it. Nobody passes by. But it grows. That kitchen floor gets dirtier. The corners of it. All right, this is what we have to do with our life. The Lord says we have to do this work of bringing ourselves to him and getting right with him and cleansing ourselves. The blood is there to cleanse, but it's not automatic. Okay, so this is one of the things that happened to the Jews. They lost the country. They lost their children. In 1 Kings 21, this is two chapters, 21 and 22, we run into this king called Ahab and this queen called Jezebel. Now, Jezebel was good at doing what everybody, all good Jezebels do. They let their husbands manipulate them into doing the wrong thing. You know, Jezebel is bad, but Ahab is badder. He's badder. And I want to tell you what he did. The king, he looks out and he sees this little vineyard he wants. So he tells the man, I would like to have your vineyard. I'll buy it from you. The man says, no, that's my family inheritance. I don't have to sell it to you. Because the Jews didn't have to sell their family inheritance. So he goes in the house. Now, to me, this is so hilarious. Somebody should make a movie. He goes in the house. He jumps in the bed. He turns his face to the wall, and he whines, and he won't eat. And so here's Jezebel. You know, she's always fixing things, picking things up, always getting into mischief. And she comes in, and he says, I can't get Naboth's vineyard. She says, don't worry, dear, I'll fix that for you. She runs out there, finds some wicked men. She says, got to have you lined. You got to get rid of this man. Because Ahab wants his piece of property. And they pull it off. But they didn't fool God. And they didn't fool the devil. So the prophet comes to Ahab and tells him this. Where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall they lick your blood. To Ahab's son. You see, it wasn't just Ahab. When Ahab did this, he involved his children, his grandchildren, and that's the end of it. Because it says, I will bring evil on you and utterly sweep away and cut off from Ahab every male, bond and free. Now, we know it was the males because of the way God expressed it. We know it was not the daughters. To Jezebel, he said, the dogs will eat your blood by the wall of Jezreel. Now, how many of you know that that's exactly what happened? That was the end of their male line. No grandchildren. That was it. Psalm chapter 8, verse 8. Okay. In this chapter, we get a picture of the wicked person who plots and plans murder of innocent people. Listen what he's full of. Greed, pride, persecution toward the poor. He spurns, renounces, and despises God. Refuses to heed God's instructions and warning. Rebellion. Thinks he will never be punished. Now, I meet a lot of people today who think they will never be punished. That all they have to do is tell God in a very flippant manner, I repent. I'm sorry. His ways are grievous. He believes that he will never have adversity or want. His mouth is full of cursing, deceit, oppression, fraud, trouble. Sin is under his tongue. He is set for ambush and slays as many poor and innocent as he can. You know, if you were going to slay somebody for what they had, why pick on the poor? Psalm 15:5. This tells us that those who take a bribe to slay the innocent will not dwell in the tabernacle and in God's holy hill. That's a serious matter, isn't it? Psalm 94:21. There are those who bend together to condemn the innocent to death, but the Lord will turn their iniquity back on them. That's where if you slay, good possibility you'll get slain. Psalm 106:36-42. And served their idols, which were a snare to them. Yes, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. That's also in 2 Kings 16:3. And shed innocent blood, even the blood of their daughters and their sons, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled by their own works, and played the harlot and practiced idolatry with their own deeds of idolatrous rites. Everything that's going on in the world today, in the New Age and Satanism and idolatry, are not new practices. It's the same thing these people did right here. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred them and rejected his own inheritance. Deuteronomy 32:17 is a parallel verse. And he gave them into the hand of the heathen nations, that they were hated and ruled over by them. Their enemies also oppressed them and brought them into subjection under the hand of their foes. Proverbs 6:17. Six things doth the Lord hate. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that manufactures wicked thoughts, feet that are swift to running to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, even under oath, and he who sows discord among the brothers. Now that tells you that God hates shedding innocent blood and these other things. Isaiah 59:7. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Desolation and destruction are in their paths and highways. The way of peace they know not, and there is no justice or right in their going. They have made them crooked paths. Whoever goes into them knows not peace. You know, when I read that verse, I think about America, the difference in us and what now and what it was, say, when my mother was a child, and even when I was a child. The land is full of desolation and destruction. How many young people think thoughts of iniquity? Listen to the rock music and think in those thoughts. Listen to the country music and think in those thoughts. Those are thoughts of iniquity. Jeremiah 2:34. This is a good chapter for you to read the whole thing. But I'm not going to read it all, because if you're serious about getting deliverance, you'll go home and read it all yourself. God, through the prophets, is telling the history of sin of the people in the chapter. He reminds them that he brought them up out of Egypt and that he set them free. They have forgotten all about his care and his provision in the wilderness and being brought into this land of plenty. Not only were the people not thankful or remembering, but the priests didn't even ask anything of the Lord. The rulers transgressed against God, and the prophets prophesied by the authority of and in the name of Baal. Then God tells them what they are like and what will come upon them. He likens these people of Israel to restless females in heat looking for a male. In verse 35 through 37, he explains how vain and hopeless their worship of idols is and what destruction they have brought upon themselves. In their idol worship, they burn their babies and sacrifice their children. Now, I just looked in a book at home, and I want to tell you how gruesome it was. They had this big statue of this horrible god, and he was made of iron, and he had his hands out like this. So they built a fire in this thing and get him hot, red hot. And then they bring the baby, and they lay it on these red hot hands. Now, what do you think is happening to that baby? Is it any different from abortion? Is it any different from burning it up with salt before it ever comes out of the womb? I was present at the birth of my last grandbaby. The minute she came out of the womb, she threw back her little head, opens up her little eyes, and screams. Now, she can scream the minute she comes out. Do you think she's not going to be able to scream and feel pain when she's in there? Then they had the other god that they used. He was a huge creature like a cow. He had a hole in his belly. They built a fire in him, too. Isn't it strange and isn't it amazing that it's always fire? They built a fire in there, and they threw the babies in the hole. Now, you know, if you ever had a little baby, that when things get kind of tough on them, they can really let out some screaming yells. So you know what they did so they wouldn't have to listen to that? They beat the drums. You think it's terrible? We're doing it right here in America. They have forgotten all about God's provision and his loving care. One thing we have learned in deliverance sessions, when people get into the occult, take mind-control drugs, have sex in not God's manner, these people are going to have a terribly hard time staying free. Do you know why? Well, I'll just be very graphic. Every time you have sex outside of marriage with anything or anybody, you are performing an act of worship to the devil. I can't get more graphic than that, can I? When the pretty young girl who's been out here having sex outside of marriage walks into the abortion clinic, she's performing a riot of demon worship. So is the doctor, he's the high priest. So are those who assist him. All sex outside of marriage and any improper sex is worship. What do you think they did at the temple? If you don't know, open up your eyes and open up the encyclopedia. It's all there. Now, I'm going to say something you're not going to like. If you're in here and you're half asleep right now, you're not interested in getting delivered. And God says, if you put your hand to the plow and then you turn back, forget it, you're not fit for the kingdom. Now, it's all fun and dancing for some people. When you get to heaven, you're going to find out you better get the mop and broom, too, before you got there. Because the fun is fine. And the dancing is fine. But if you're doing it without properly cleaning yourself up, it is not an act of worship to God. I mean, God took me through that the year before I got delivered. I got into that church where there's dancing and singing. Man, I'd dance her down and sing her up and kick her around just like the rest of them. And I thought I was so holy. And one day I felt like the Lord was looking at me, and I felt filthy, dirty, and a fake. And so I asked him about it. And he says, you've got to have a clean hand and a pure heart. If you're coming into the church and you're dancing and singing and acting like you really love the Lord, and you haven't taken time to clean up your old dirty kitchen, it's not worship to God.
I'm sorry, Glenn. You want me to sit down? You want me to sit down before I get in any more trouble? So, it is very difficult for people to leave their religion, their worship. How many of you have ever been a Catholic and tried to leave it? A Baptist and tried to leave it? A Methodist or anything? To leave a place where you've been in a church and you suddenly realize, I'm only getting a smithereen, a little teeny drop. I'm going to die here. But you can't leave it. The Bible even talks about the women that can't leave their religion. And they are so bold-faced to God, they say, while we was doing all this stuff and pouring out these drink offerings to these demon gods and everything, we had everything we wanted. They were so stupid they didn't realize that all they were living on during that time was the blessings from before. So if you've been into sex, drugs, or the occult, prepare to work very hard to get free and stay free. Jeremiah 19, verse 4. Because the people have forsaken me and have exchanged and profaned this place by burning incense to other gods that neither they nor their fathers or the kings of Judah have known, and because they have filled this place with the blood of innocents. I mean, they even went to the temple and did it in Jerusalem. Now, that's not much worse than we're going to church and we're fornicating all over the place and we're aborting our babies. It's no different. And built the high places of Baal to burn their sons in the fire as burnt offerings to Baal. I didn't command it, I didn't speak of it, and it did not come into my mind. Verse 6. Therefore the day is coming, says the Lord, when this place will no more be called the Valley of Hinnom, but will be called the Valley of Slaughter. I will cause my people to fall by the sword of their enemies and by the hand of those who seek their life. Their dead bodies will I give to be food for the birds of the air and for the beasts of the earth. I will make this city to be an astonishment, a horror, and a hissing. How many of you noticed that up until just recent years, people hissed at Jewish people? The Catholics condemned them to hell, and all the rest of us didn't want anything to do with them. We hated them because they had the money. Yeah, Jean, I just found out there's a good possibility we got Jewish kinfolk. I will make this city astonishment, a horror, and a hissing. I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and their daughters and neighbors because of the stress of their life. And that actually happened. This group of verses should serve to warn us in America of much horror, sadness, and distress ahead. You know, I like to think that we were going to have a great revival, we were all going to be saved and not have to go through this, but God says that when we do these things, you see, what our president, our Congress, our legislatures do is going to fall back on us, you know? I mean, if the king sins, those sins fell on the land and on the people. Because what do most people do? They go right after whatever the king is doing. When we got into this war, I got more and more disturbed about this curse. Because, you know, God has to be lying if he doesn't do something about us. We can see how far we have fallen in honesty and courage and decency when we pick on a baby and kill it who has no defense. When I was a kid, it was pick on somebody your own size. Well, now we don't pick on people our own size near as often as we pick on babies. There are millions a year murdered. There are some verses in the Bible about that, too. Jeremiah 22, 3, and 17. Jeremiah 26:15. You know, when you get onto these verses, you want to read every one of them, but you eventually people have to read their own. Ezekiel 13 tells us about a group of pastors. Starts off that way. Tells us about a group of pastors who dug up this wall of lies. I mean, they fix it up and they get it all real nice and everything. And God says, I'm going to tear it down. And he does. The next group of people that he takes on in this chapter are those people who are in the occult, the New Age movement. He tells them this. He says, you take a bribe to keep an evil person alive. Now, who would do that? Those people who take money to make curses on other people. Then he says, you take money to kill the innocent, my people. And God says that he will not have it so forever. He said he would deliver his people. I have this feeling that he won't deliver us if we don't get busy doing what we're supposed to do, which is repenting, cleaning ourselves up, getting obedient to him. In chapter 14, God explains what he will do to those who worship idols and still come around to ask his advice. You look at the horoscope on Friday, you go down to the beer hall on Saturday, and you come to church on Sunday. You smell a little bad, but you're acting awful holy. And you ask God, what should you do? Do you think he's going to hear you? Here's what he says. He says, the person that does that will be cut off from the midst of his people. God says that when he stretches out his hand against it and cuts off their bread and sends famine and cuts it off from man and beast. And he says, even if Noah was here, even if Daniel was here, even if Job was here, they couldn't help anybody but themselves. It does not say that he's going to have mercy for 10 righteous people in that chapter. He just says the righteous people will escape. And that's all. You and I will stand before God on our own record. We will not be able to make any claims or excuses against anybody else. Have you noticed in the Bible that when the Israel and Judah were taken into captivity, the prophets went too, the good people went too. All they ever left behind was a little riffraff. That's what the Bible says. Don't think you will escape unless you line yourself up with God completely. Matthew 27, verse 4. When Judas saw that Jesus would really be condemned and really killed, he was sorry, but not for the right way, and he didn't repent. He was only sorry that he got caught and what he'd have to face with the other disciples. He didn't repent. Because had he really, really repented, he'd have been like Peter. The Lord would have forgiven him, but he didn't. Matthew 27:24. Even Pilate wanted everyone to know that he was not responsible for the innocent blood of Jesus. From all these scriptures, what have we learned? It's a very severe thing to take the life of another human being, physically or by words. It is even worse and more severe to take the life of an innocent person. It is even more severe to take the life of the unborn and the poor. To murder the unborn is an attempt to cover sin. And it's not the only sin. You see, there was sin before that ever was necessary. We have seen just how far rebellion, hate, envy, jealousy will take us. The Bible tells us to obey the instructions of God quickly and enthusiastically. Quickly forgive others. Quickly repent. Quickly correct your ways. Quickly correct your bad thinking. Have you seen families that seem to never belong, never have enough money, can't take care of themselves? People who are violent, people who are filthy mouth or unclean in their conduct, people who are sexually loose, people who are tantalized by the occult, people who don't seem to get saved, even if they kind of act like they want to. And I wonder if his curse isn't on those people who come up for deliverance, and then they, if God wants me delivered, I'm sure he can do it. Or, the Moody's prayed for me 4 times, and I just can't quit this sinning. People who have that attitude, is this curse on them? People who come from long distances to come here to camp meeting, and their main reason for coming might have been deliverance or healing, and they stay out of the meeting. Is that curse on them? It could be. I can tell you that unless America repents, well, let's put it this way, if the Christians don't repent of their dabbling in this stuff, we're going to get it. I mean, you just cannot get around it. There will be judgment for the guilt of innocent blood. Do you know there was a curse of innocent blood on the United States of America before the first white man ever put his foot here? I have Indian background. They sacrificed their children. We have a lot of curses on the white people because we guiltily killed innocent people. You may say, well, my mom and dad were real sweet, my grandma and grandpa was real sweet. But obviously the worst part of this curse is the loss that it brings. Gene and I, after we went to Ohio and discovered some things about some of his cousins on the Dalrymple side, decided we probably had this curse, which cost us our son. Because in his family, the oldest son of several of the cousins died early. All right, what can you do about this? God never tells us about a problem that he does not give a solution. So, all right, let's take Jeremiah chapter 7. I know some of you have King James and some of you have other things, but I don't think you can miss the meaning of this. We're not going to read every verse. You know, we cannot bear the burden for the whole United States. But we can bear the burden for who? Us. And every person who corrects their life has an influence on other people. Because, you see, God blesses you when you correct. Other people want those blessings. They're going to ask you, how'd you get that way? All right, you find Jeremiah 7. This is what we have to do. Now, God's talking to Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. I don't think it was because he had a negative attitude at all. I don't think that's why he wept. I think he wept because he loved his country, he loved his people, and he loved his God, and he could see clearly what was going on and what was fixing to come down the road. Verse 2, he tells Jeremiah, stand in the gate of the Lord's house. All right, that's what people do when they get up to the pulpit. They're standing there. And proclaim this word. Hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah. And enter, and those who enter into the gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. So what's the opposite of that verse? If you don't mend your ways, you're getting out of here. Trust not in the lying words of a false prophet who maintains that God will protect Jerusalem because his temple is there. That's like us saying, well, you know, I go to the First Baptist Church. I know I'm okay. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord is it. In other words, they're relying on that one building. They're not relying on obeying God, keeping covenant, or anything. Just that building. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, and if you thoroughly and truly execute justice between every man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the transient and the alien, the fatherless and the widow, or shed innocent blood by oppression or by judicial murders in Jerusalem, or go after other gods to your own hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place. So the opposite of that is if you do these things above, you're not going to dwell here. You have to do obedience with all your ways and your doings. Then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave your fathers of old to dwell in forever. Behold, you trust lying words that cannot benefit you, so that you do not profit. And, you know, I have been amazed at the people who are in the occult, and they say, I have everything. You say, well, you know, what have you got? Well, I'm living in somebody else's house, wearing somebody else's clothes, driving somebody else's car, and it boils down to they have nothing except what belongs to someone else. And yet they're so deceived that they think they have everything, and they have nothing. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and go after other gods that you have not known? And then dare come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, by the discharge of this religious formality, we are all set free. In other words, that's like going into church and someone stands up at the pulpit and they say, I take authority over all the demons in this place. You're all free. Just because you did it in the name of Jesus, in general, it says that's a religious formality. It won't work. Then you turn around and you go outside and you go on with your wickedness and your abominations. Verse 11. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes, a place of retreat for you between acts of violence? Behold, I myself have seen it, says the Lord. But go now to my place, which is in Shiloh and Ephraim, where I set thy name in the first, and see what I did to it for its wickedness. And now, because you have done all these things, says the Lord, and because I have spoken to you persistently, rising up early and speaking, you did not listen, and when I called you, you did not answer. Therefore I will do to this house, the temple, which is called by my name, in which you trust, and to the place which I gave you and to your fathers, the same as I did in Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight as I cast them out of my sight, even the whole posterity of Ephraim. Therefore do not pray for this city of Judah, or lift up cry or entreaty for them, or make intercession to me, for I will not listen or hear you. In other words, they went past the point of having any desire to repent. Do you not see what you are doing in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, the fathers kindle the fire, the women knead the dough, and to make cakes for the queen of heaven, the moon. And they pour out drink offerings to other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. And skip down to, read on to 21. Is it I whom they provoke to anger, says the Lord? Is it not themselves whom they provoke to their own confusion, vexation, and to their own shame? Therefore, says the Lord God, behold, my anger and my wrath will be poured out on this place, on man and beast, on the trees of the field, and on the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. Now, verse 23 is our cure. But this thing I do command them, listen to and obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in the whole way that I command you, that it may be well with you. Now, if they don't listen, go down to verse 33. And the dead bodies of this people shall be meat to the fowls of the air and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall frighten them away. Then I will cease to cause from the city of Jerusalem and Judea, from the streets of Jerusalem, the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness. Have you noticed how sad-faced looking the majority of the young people are today? If they keep that up, by the time they're 28, they're going to look worse than I do. You know, I mean, it's pathetic. You look at it, I'm so totally bored. Well, listen to this verse. Then I was caused to cease from the streets of Judea and all the streets of Jerusalem, the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. Have you noticed how we don't have marriages like we used to that last? You know, perhaps we're already reaping what we've sown. For the land shall become a waste. Now, since nobody got them left, I have a suspicion that possibly we need to pray about this. So if you want to, stand up, sit down three or four times. That's what I did to my first graders when they got lazy. Stretch all around. All right, now when you're ready, then I want you to get very quiet before the Lord, because we're already in trouble. Any of us that has this curse and has not been broken, even though we're born again and we have great promises from God, we'll have a difficult time ever getting anywhere or getting into the promises. And God promises you a lot of things, but there's always something left in there that says, if you keep all my commandments. Now, you don't have to get perfect before he begins to bless you with these things he's told you he's going to bless you with. But there has to be that ingredient of sincere progress. You've got to sincerely be going after it day by day by day by day. Just like the old mule that plows the field. He doesn't quit till he's done. He can't. You can't quit till you're done. Now, how many of you figure there's a possibility this curse might be on your family? On your family line somewhere? Or if you came from Europe, if your ancestors came from Europe, or they were born on American soil, as far back as it can possibly be, that anybody knows anything about, just remember that idolatry is worldwide. And that even though history wants us to believe that no one from Babylon ever saw anyone from South America or Mexico or the American Indians, why is it they all performed pretty much the same rites? You see, somebody's taking the message around. Who do you think it is? The devil. All right. So if we came from anywhere, we probably got this on us. If you're a Cabbage Patch doll, you probably don't have. But if you're not, you do, most likely. And I decided that I have it on me because I have Cherokee blood. And Jean's side of the family has all this death. You see, Jean's family, as far as the male goes, when he dies, it's over. There are no more moody children in this line. See, that's sad. But that's exactly the result of this curse. male children will all die. You know, I think I was in Tennessee a couple of years or so back, maybe it was last summer, and I heard about it. Someone was telling this as a joke, and when they told it, I saw the Bible. It said there was, you know how Scotch people are always saying, "Lord, may the road rise up and slap you in the face," and all those kind of things that they say to one another, you know, may a bug fly in your ear and eat your head. And they're always giving each other these strange greetings. And there were two men who were very much rivals. So this one man told the other man, when they had outwitted each other on something, "Y'all sit down when you're through with being standing up." And so one man says, "Well, my son is going to play football better than yours at that high school. And your son's never going to graduate." So the other guy, when he's mad and unsuccessful or something, he issues that same thing back to the other guy. And do you know that in their senior year, within a week apart, both young men had car wrecks and died? Now, this is what I was told. All right, in my mind, things are going through my mind. He cursed his son with death. He cursed that one with death. And they both died because no one ever broke the curse and no one ever repented. Okay, so now it's time to repent. Now, I'm not asking you to agree with what I have said. I would like to see you research it. I'd like to have more input on it. But I have read enough that I'm serious about repenting. For me, for my daughter, for my family line, for those that came down to me with this stuff. I can't get their sins forgiven. Why do I repent of what's happened in the past? Because in Numbers it says, if you repent for the sins and iniquities and the idolatry of your fathers and you, I'll forgive you. And if you accept the fact that this punishment that you're getting is just, I'll heal you land. Now, a lot of people say, that's not in the Bible. God's not like that. Well, it is. So, all right, let's repent. Let's get serious. If the curse is not on your family, pray for the rest of us. Dear Father in heaven, I've read enough of the Bible today to know that there are curses from shedding innocent blood that probably have fallen on me. There are probably curses from this nation that have fallen on me from shedding innocent blood. I've learned that this curse travels down the family line. I have no sure way of knowing that it has come down to me. I do now ask forgiveness for myself and all those people who came before me who may have sinned against you and others by shedding innocent blood. Lord, we have greatly erred in shedding innocent blood in this United States. Our land is probably covered with blood. Lord, forgive us for this terrible sin. Redeem us from the guilt and cleanse our land. Lord, I repent, for being involved in acts of worship to other gods. I repent of all occult acts, of drugs, sex, murder, and thievery, and any others that you remind me of. And I break all soul ties with those that I have done these things with. I do this in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Father, because you have given us power over the devil, I break these curses of innocent blood off of my family, my descendants, in the name of Jesus Christ. I also break the parallel curses of Satanism and idol work
sexual impurity.
Father, you have said
that if I repent
and turn from my evil way
and call on the name of the Lord,
I can be delivered.
I do now call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to set me free.
I thank you, Jesus,
for all you have done for me.
I commit my life to you in a greater way
than I have ever done before.
Please instruct me
and help me correct my life.
Help me to bring myself into subjection to you.
I pray this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ.
When I leave here,
I will not proceed in any evil manner
that I've taken care of today.
Amen.
Command these demons to come out. That we've taken away your legal right. I command you to line up in rank and file and order and come out quickly. We bind every power that you have. We loose ourselves from you in the name of Jesus Christ. I command every root, memory, scar, nest, and habit, ruler, demon, and lesser demon to come out. I command you to come out by families. We demand a complete cleansing in the name of Jesus Christ. I remind every evil spirit that you'll be cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm shall never die and the fire shall never be quenched. You'll be cast in there with your master Satan. You'll be in total loneliness and total despair, and you have very little time left. I command you to bow your knee to Jesus Christ and do what he's telling you to do and go where he's telling you to go. Now come out in the name of Jesus Christ. We command the spirits of anger, rage, hate, jealousy, murder. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. Move it out of the people right now in Jesus' name. Every spirit of anger, rage, hate, jealousy, and murder, go in Jesus' name. Lying, blood, guilt, come out in Jesus' name. Come out. All this guilt that comes in through shedding innocent blood, we command you to go in Jesus' name. You have no choice. You will come out of us in Jesus' name. Come out. Every spirit of planning to kill the innocent, agreement with killing the innocent, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go right now. All this planning to kill, premeditated murder, we command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out, every spirit of false pity, misdirected pity, self-pity. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All this false pity, these pity parties, misdirected pity, self-pity. Come out, feeling sorry for ourselves. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind your power. We drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. And every spirit of killing by talk or act, come out. We call out those demons that come in through where we would like to kill someone else with our words. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Where we try to speak death to someone else by our words, or where we say the looks could kill, we command you to come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Bribing to lie, bribing to kill, taking a bribe to slay the innocent person. I come against those demons where people have been paid to slay the innocent person. Killing for a reward, or killing by a doctor, or by a hospital that does this deliberately. Come out, spirits. Come out, the hired gun spirits. I call those demons out of doctors and nurses and hospitals and psychiatric clinics and so forth, where they've been hired to kill. The hired gun demons. Come out, all these who are associate parties that are associated with abortion. Come out, the husband, the wife, the mother, the father, all those who have been in agreement with abortion by someone that was one of their loved ones. Now come out. Come out, the demons that come in through agreement with abortion. In every party, every associated party, we command those to go in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of injustice. Come out, every demon of injustice, we command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of killing the innocents. Sacrifice of children and idol worship. Come out, spirits of idol worship, a worship of Satan, worship of other gods, worship of demons, worship of yourself, selfishness. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, loose us and set us free in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of our body, our mind,
I command these demons to come out of the sexual organs. Now, come out of the sexual organs right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirits tied in with slaying innocent blood, all the sexual diseases and so forth, and the impurities, we command those to come out in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of great rebellion, affront to God, challenging God, destruction. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirits of destruction, self-destruction, Asmodeus, Osmodeus, Apollyon, Abaddon, come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. The spirits of destruction, self-destruction, murder, suicide, death, come out. Abortion, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. The spirit of Moloch, the worship of Moloch, the worship of Baal. We call out the harlot spirit, the temple prostitute. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, all the demons that come in through shedding innocent blood or killing with words, we command those to go in Jesus' name. Come out, the demons that trouble us in our mind, that have wicked thoughts, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, the desire to do evil, the desire to do evil, or rewarding those who do evil, or agreeing with those who do evil, come out in Jesus' name. Every spirit of idol worship, Satanism, black and white magic, card laying, reading tea leaves, demon-inspired music. I call out the demons that come in through music. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Against the demons that come in through Christian rock. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All demons that come in through Christian rock or New Age music. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Demons of rock music and country music and sexual music. And come out, spirits of sensuality, voluptuousness. Come out, spirits of voluptuousness, lasciviousness, sensuality. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, all spirits of homosexuality, sodomy, bestiality. Come out in Jesus' name. I call out the lesbian spirits, the homosexuality spirits. Come out in Jesus' name. Go. Come out. Every spirit of kinky sex, I call out oral sex and anal sex and kinky sex. Come out in Jesus' name. And rough sex and occult sex. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, all the profane spirits, spirits of profanity and cursing and blasphemy. Come out in jesting. I call us jesting and coarse jesting and vulgar jokes and so forth. Come out in Jesus' name. And I command you to come out now. Come out of the people right now. Those demons that kill our sons, go in the name of Jesus Christ. I hate you, demons. I hate all sin and iniquity. I hate everything that God hates. Now come out of us. I have no pity on you, demons. I command you to go out and walk around in dry places and not come back again. I remind you of your torment. You're going to be tormented for eternity. I command you to look down into the lake of fire and brimstone and see your punishment. I remind you of that. Now bow your knee to Jesus Christ and do what he's telling you to do and go where he's telling you to go. I call out all infirmity, weakness, and sickness and disease that has come in through these demons that we've been talking about in this lesson. Now come out of our organs right now. Come out of the sexual organs or any other organs that you have attached yourself to. I stir you up and I drive you out in Jesus' name. Now be gone. Now come out of us. All this rejection that has come in through these experiences. Come out. Rejection, fear of rejection, self-rejection, inability to give and receive love, prenatal rejection, conception and lust, rejection by the mother, rejection by the father, rejection by brothers and sisters, rejection by Christian brothers and sisters, rejection by the pastor and the leaders of the church. Now come out of us. And where we feel like we've been rejected by God, I call that demon out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Where we think we've been rejected by God, or God hates us, or where we think that God hates us, or God doesn't love us, or God won't forgive us. Now come out. We drive out every demon of rejection, bitterness, rebellion. And we command you to go, those common demon families, and we bind your power and drive you out. And we command every evil spirit that we've taken away your legal right to line up in rank and file in order and come out quickly. And Lord, we just ask you to send your angels down to keep escorting those demons out, Father, until everyone leaves that has no right to be there. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And Lord, I ask now, Father, that your Holy Spirit would descend upon us, Lord. That would give us, Lord, I just pray that you would give the people peace, Father. Lord, I know this message has really stirred the people up, Father. And Lord, it stirred me up too. And Lord, I ask for your peace that passes understanding, that would descend upon these people, Father. Let them have peace, Lord, that your word is at work, Father, and it is working to purify them, Lord, and to and to pass down to their descendants, Father. Lord, just let your peace fall upon them, Lord, and let your Holy Spirit fall upon them. And we ask for an infilling of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would fill the vacated areas, Father. And we ask for an infilling and a filling, Lord, and a fullness of the Holy Spirit. And we praise you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord. And we ask for your healing power to flow through us now. And just heal us, Lord, of anything that we have dealt with here, Father. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand and invite the Holy Ghost to fill every area that has been vacated in any way, so that there's no place for the devil to come back and find a place that he can come back with seven more spirits. We want it full, so there's no vacant place. Father, I ask you for the Holy Ghost to come and fill every area of every vessel.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.